Now, as gunshots echo across the windswept, snow-covered reaches of the wild Northwest, Quaker Puffed Wheat and Quaker Puffed Rice, a breakfast cereal shot from guns, present Sergeant Preston of the Yukon. It's Yukon King, swiftest and strongest lead dog of the Northwest, blazing the trail for Sergeant Preston of the Northwest Mounted Police in his relentless pursuit of lawbreakers.
On King! On, you Huskies!
Gold. Gold discovered in the Yukon. A stampede to the Klondike in the wild race for riches. Back to the days of the gold rush. With Quaker Puffed Wheat and Quaker Puffed Rice bringing you the adventures of Sergeant Preston and his wonder dog, Yukon King, as they meet the challenge of the Yukon.
There's no one that can make a better cereal than Quaker Puffed Rice. It's nice. And when you hear that shooting, you're durn tootin' that Quaker makes the ones shot from guns.
And say, if you hate to get up in the morning, just think about this appetite alarm clock waiting for you on the breakfast table. A bowl of crisp, fresh Quaker Puffed Rice or Quaker Puffed Wheat, topped with lots of milk or thick, rich yellow cream and sliced bananas or chilled fruit. Yes, you'll be out of bed like a shot for the ones shot from guns. For a swell waker-upper, start tomorrow morning to enjoy the delicious, toasty, nut-like flavor and tender crispness of Quaker Puffed Rice or Quaker Puffed Wheat. It was late afternoon when Johnny Elk left the office of Constable Bill Cherry in Lime City and headed for the general store. As the old man walked to the counter, the two prospectors who were pocketing their purchases eyed him curiously.
Hey, Jeb, is my order ready yet? I'm set to go back to that place.
It'll be ready in a few minutes, Johnny. I'm packing it now.
Dade, there's the man we've heard so much about.
Who?
Johnny Elk. I saw him once a couple of years ago, and he hasn't changed a bit.
Is he the old-timer who's supposed to have so much gold he doesn't know what to do with it?
That's right. From what I hear, he spends it all on the Indians.
Where'd he strike it rich?
He was panning Wildcat River before the gold rush started.
Let's go over to where he's standing and see if he pays for what he bought in gold.
Right.
Yeah, there it is, packed and ready, Johnny. Trinkets and calico and canned goods. The Indians will have a celebration when they get this.
Yes, that's what I figure. Well, there's my poke, Jeb. Way out what I owe you while I put this stuff in my sled.
Well, wait a minute. I'll give you a hand.
Well, I can make it all right if one of you young fellas will open the door for me.
Sure thing.
The prospector named Dade stood near the scales, watching greedily while a storekeeper weighed some dust from Johnny's heavy poke. His partner, Clay Bantam, hurried to open the door for Johnny Elk.
Here, I'll carry the load of your sled.
It's heavier than I thought.
Yeah, I'll take it.
The sled's right over here, mister.
All right.
Well, here we are. I'll store the pack on the sled.
Yeah.
All set now. Well, much obliged, young fella.
Glad to do it.
I've never seen you or your partner around here before.
I'm Clay Bantam. My partner's named Dade. We're strangers to Lime City.
Well, I'm glad to know you, Clay. I'm Johnny Elkie. Where you two heading?
Wildcat River.
Huh? Whereabouts on the river?
Oh, no place in particular. Traveling north, generally.
Well, I live on the river bank. Why not travel with me?
Well, that suits me, Johnny. I'll go call my partner.
It was 4 o'clock in the afternoon when Johnny Elk, Clay Bantam, and Dade left Lime City.
Rush, you Malamutes! Rush!
Soon, the three men reached Wildcat River and turned to follow it downstream.
That river's plenty noisy.
Well, that's 'cause the water travels fast.
It looks high to me.
Yes, it is. This time of the year, the snow is melting in the mountains. Come on, boys.
As darkness gathered, the men entered a canyon through which the river flowed.
How long will it take us to reach your place, Johnny?
Oh, about another hour.
I hope you know where you're going.
Afraid of getting lost?
I don't like traveling after dark.
Where does the canyon end?
Well, in a place called the Narrows. You know where that is?
We're strangers here.
Well, the Narrows is just beyond Etowah's Indian village.
Where's the Indian village?
Oh, about a mile past my place. You fellas are welcome to a meal with me unless you have other plans.
Hey, that sounds good to me, Johnny. What about you, Dave?
Look, man.
Bush! Bush!
An hour later, Dade and Clay reached Johnny Elk's cabin. The front of the sturdy building was on a sloping bank, about 150 feet from the river's edge. Behind the cabin, walls of sheer rock rose in the darkness. Johnny had prepared a hearty meal for himself and his guests. His eyes twinkled as Clay and Dade had second, then third helpings of food. As Johnny refilled their tin cups with steaming coffee, he asked,
You fellas had enough to eat?
Gosh, yes, Johnny.
That's the first good meal I've had in a week.
You've been getting by on slim rations, eh?
Mighty slim.
We've had a run of bad luck lately. You have a comfortable cabin here, Johnny.
Well, I like it. It's sort of crowded, but you boys are welcome to spend the night if you want
to. No. We don't want to bother you.
What's that shack we passed about a half mile back?
That's a way cabin.
We could spend the night there, couldn't we?
Why, sure. No one's there. You going to stay around here long?
We might. We figured we'd try panning Wildcat River for a while.
Oh, you'd be wasting your time. Before the rush, a fella could do well panning the river, but now so many miners and prospectors are panning the mountain streams, the river's worked out. I gave up panning 2-3 years ago.
You paid the storekeeper in gold.
Oh, I always do.
Oh. Where'd you get the gold if you're through panning?
Well, I got it before the gold rushers hit the Yukon. I have more than enough to take care of me for the rest of my life.
Then why don't you go back to the States, Johnny?
No, I'm satisfied to stay here.
With a village of Indians for your nearest neighbors?
The Indians are my friends. They helped me when I had nothing. Now I'm able to help them. I like it that way.
Clay, maybe we ought to head east to look for gold.
Well, the country north of here is better for prospecting. And there's mighty good hunting about 10 miles beyond the Narrows.
Hey, that sounds good to me, Dade.
Yeah. We'll try to get a canoe from the Indians in the morning.
Oh, now, wait a minute. You boys planning to go through the Narrows alone?
Sure, why not?
Oh, you'll feel different when you see that water in the morning. Just past the Indian village, the canyon narrows. The river fills it completely.
I can handle a canoe.
Yeah, so can a lot of other men. But they wouldn't try to steer a canoe around the jagged rocks at the Narrows.
Yeah, we'll watch for the rocks, Johnny.
But they're underwater. You wouldn't see the rocks that'd tear the bottom from the canoe. And rocks aren't the worst of it. There's the rapids.
Rapids?
Yep. Only one man around here can handle a canoe in the white water, and he's an Indian.
What's the white water?
Well, that's what the Indians call the rapids. Say, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll go over to the village in the morning and ask Lone Nock to guide you through. He'll be glad to do it when I tell him you're friends of mine.
A short time later, Clay and Dade left to retrace their steps to a way cabin half a mile from Johnny's place, where they planned to spend the night. Meanwhile, Sergeant Preston and the great dog Yukon King reached Lime City. They went directly to the constable's home, where they were warmly welcomed by Bill Cherry.
Good to see you again, Bill.
Well, I'm glad you're here, Sergeant Preston. But I'm not the only one who's been waiting to see you.
No?
Johnny Elk was here looking for you today. He has a serious heart condition and wants to make out a will.
Is that why he wants to see me?
Yes. He figures I might be transferred to another part of the Yukon, but he knows that you patrol this area regularly, so he wants to tell you what to do with his gold after his death.
Oh.
He said he was going to depend on you to carry out his wishes.
Well, I suppose he'll want to leave the gold to relatives.
He has no relatives. He wants to leave what he has to the Indians.
Chief Itawa's tribe? Yes,
that's right. You see, for years, Johnny's been taking care of those Indians. Hunting and fishing are bad. He supplies them with food and clothing. He buys them medicine, trinkets, and jewelry. And he wants to be sure they'll get what they need after he's gone.
I see.
That's his only worry. He's been here 3 times in the last 2 weeks asking about you and King.
We'll go to Johnny's place in the morning.
Oh, he'll be mighty glad to see you, Sergeant Preston.
Sergeant Preston checked Constable Cherry's reports. Then he and King went to the spare bedroom in the constable's home and turned in for the night. Soon he and his dog were both asleep. In the way cabin beside Wildcat River, where they were spending the night, neither Clay Banham nor his partner Dade thought of sleep. A coal oil lamp burned brightly as the two men sat at a table in the drafty shack. Dade was saying,
Johnny Elk must have plenty of gold, Clay. You heard him say he had all he needed.
If we travel north into the hills, we might find gold ourselves, Dade.
Why should we spend months and maybe years looking for it when it's right under our noses?
Huh?
There's no bank in Lime City, Clay. Johnny must keep his gold in his cabin.
All we have to do is go there and take it.
We'd never get away with it.
Why not?
What about Johnny? I'll tell you what about Johnny. We'll make him show us where he keeps his gold.
Lodark, the Indian of whom Johnny Elk had spoken, had been in town transacting some business for his father, the chief. He was returning to his village when he noticed a light burning in the way cabin. His curiosity prompted him to investigate. He was about to knock on the door when he heard voices coming through the loosely chinked logs. He realized the two men inside the shack were talking about his friend, Johnny Elk.
Johnny Elk would never tell us where he keeps the gold.
He'll talk to save his life.
Even if we got the gold, Johnny would have the law on us in no time, Dade.
We'll tie and gag him so he can't go for help. By the time he's found, we'll be on our way out of the country with his gold.
Well, I don't know.
Lonark moved to the window to look at the two men who planned to rob his friend. As he peered through the narrow opening, Clay saw him.
Hey, Dade, the window.
What?
An engine. He must have heard us talk of robbing Johnny.
Don't get him.
Dade, he's running away. He's at the riverbank.
I'll stop him.
You hit him. He fell into the river.
Maybe he was smart enough to jump in. Come on, we'll roll up for him.
Dade's bullets had hit their mark. Lonark had been hit in the arm. The other bullet had grazed his temple. When he hit the water, he had reached out with his good arm and fought desperately to reach the opposite bank of the river. Lonark heard the two men approaching. He took a deep breath and ducked underwater. We'll continue our adventure in just a moment. Say, old-timer, you look pretty busy there panning for gold.
Well, son, when you're prospecting for gold up here in the Yukon, you even forget about eating.
But not when you have a heaping bowl full of Quaker-popped wheat or Quaker-popped rice waiting for you.
What kind of victuals are those?
Why, haven't you heard? They're the swellest-tasting breakfast cereals in the Yukon. They're the famous cereals shot from guns.
Shot from guns?
Yep. Quaker-popped rice and Quaker-popped wheat are actually shot from guns to make them deliciously crisp and tender. They're exploded up, up, up to 8 times normal size, and that makes them bigger and better tasting.
Well, it's a new one on me.
Yes, sirree. They're magnified, crispified, shot through and through with bang-up nut-like flavor, too.
Guess I'll do a little prospecting on that Quaker-popped rice and Quaker puffed wheat.
Believe me, your appetite sure strikes it rich when you pour out a heaping bowl full of those tenderly crisp, melt-in-your-mouth, king-size kernels of wheat or rice shot from guns.
Don't I have to cook them or nothing?
No cooking. Just add milk or cream and top with your favorite fruit.
Mighty handy for a busy gold prospector.
For any busy person. And mighty nourishing, too. Quaker puffed wheat and Quaker puffed rice furnish added food values of restored natural grain amounts of vitamin B1, niacin, and iron.
I'm going to get me some right away.
And that's a tip for you fellas and girls, too. Be sure to get crisp, fresh, delicious Quaker puffed rice and Quaker puffed wheat for a breakfast treat that can't be beat. Now to continue. After an unsuccessful search for the body of the Indian, Dade and Clay went to Johnny Elk's cabin. The place was dark.
He's likely asleep.
We'll wake him.
I think I hear him moving about inside.
Yeah, so do I. There's the light.
Just a minute.
We want to talk to you, Johnny.
All right, I'm coming. Oh, it's you fellas.
Yeah. We'll come in if you don't mind.
How come you're back here?
We come to talk about gold.
Couldn't that wait till morning?
No, we want to get it now.
Hey, what's the idea of the gun?
This is a robbery, Johnny, a stick-up.
What?
Johnny, you'll save yourself a lot of trouble if you tell us where you keep your gold. We'll help ourselves and clear out of here without hurting.
And if you don't tell us...
You dirty double-crossing polecats. I offered you a meal and told you where to find a place to sleep. I tipped you off to good prospecting country and even planned to fix it so as you get there. Now you want to steal my gold.
Where is it?
I'd be loco to tell you. What's more, I'd...
Grab him, Tate, before he gets his gun.
I got him.
No, let go of me. No.
He's fainted.
Hey, what's the matter with him?
I don't know. I don't feel any pulse.
Huh?
He's dead.
You're right. I don't savvy what killed him.
Maybe his heart gave out.
Yeah, now he'll never tell us where to find the gold.
He'll have to search this place to find it.
The two partners began a methodical search of Johnny Elk's cabin. As he turned out the contents of the desk, Clay found a letter.
Hey, look at this, Dade.
Huh?
It's a letter to Sergeant Preston, saying Johnny wants the Mountie to see that the engine's got his gold after his death. It's witnessed by the constable in Lime City.
Does the letter say where to find the gold?
No.
Then keep looking for it. It's got to be here somewhere.
Yeah, all right.
After examining every piece of furniture, the two men went over the floor carefully, looking for a loose board that might offer a place of concealment. They worked slowly, determined to cover every inch of the cabin in an effort to find Johnny's gold. After several hours of fruitless searching, they were discouraged and cold.
It's no good.
The fire had burned to smoldering embers.
Let's get out of here, Dade. I'm tired and cold.
I'll throw a couple of logs in the fireplace. We're not leaving till we get the gold.
Maybe Johnny didn't keep it in the cabin. Maybe hid it outside someplace.
There's no place outside to hide anything. It must be in here.
We've looked everywhere, Dade. I tell you, it's not here.
I say it has to be. Come here, Clay.
What is it?
Look at this rock. See? It moves.
Hey, it's loose.
Right. Comes out of the fireplace. There. Now we'll see what's behind it.
There's a big hole. Reach inside, Dade.
Yeah.
Did you find anything?
Feels like there's a lot of small leather sacks in there.
Bring one out.
That's what I'm doing. Here, open this one. I'll get another.
Right.
With trembling fingers, Clay Banham loosened the leather thong that fastened the top of the sack. Then he spilled some of the contents into the palm of his hand.
Why, the gold dust. This is it, Dade. We found it.
We'll get all of it out of here and then clear out.
We're rich, Dade. We're rich.
When the two thieves left Johnny Elk's cabin carrying the stolen gold, their faces were flushed with excitement. The walk back to the way cabin, half a mile from Johnny's place, sobered them. Clay's spirit suddenly sagged, and he realized how tired he was.
I'm tired enough to sleep standing up.
So am I. I'll get our gear together and pack some provisions. Then we'll head for Lime City.
What? Without any sleep?
You want to stay around here till somebody finds Johnny's body?
Nobody will find it till after daybreak. Maybe they'll not even find it then.
Likely one of the engines will discover it. If we start now, we'll have a good lead.
How far could we travel without rest? Neither one of us have had any sleep for 24 hours. I don't know about you, but I couldn't walk another half mile.
All right, we'll turn in for a couple of hours.
Good. I'm hitting this bunk right now.
We'll get up at daybreak and start for town.
All right. We'll get up at daybreak.
Daybreak found Sergeant Preston and King already on the trail. They were traveling north and were only an hour from the way cabin when Dade opened his eyes. A look at the sky startled him to complete wakefulness.
It's daylight.
Dade hurried across the room and shook his sleeping partner.
Clay, wake up. Clay!
What is it?
Get up, it's daylight. We should have been on the trail a couple of hours ago.
All right, take it easy. I'm getting up.
Make it fast, we've no time to waste.
Quickly, the two men packed their gear and the stolen gold. Then they left the shack. Half an hour later, Dade stopped abruptly.
Clay, look ahead.
There's somebody coming.
A man and a dog.
I didn't figure we'd meet anyone in this canyon.
The man's park is open. It looks like he's wearing a red shirt.
What? It's not a shirt, Dade. There's a coat under that parka. A red coat. Dade, it's a Mountie.
There's only two places he could be going. Johnny's cabin or the Indian village.
In either case, he'll find out about the robbery.
He'll be on our trail in no time.
What'll we do?
Turn around. We'll head for the narrow.
How'll we get through the rapids?
We'll get that engine to take us through.
Yeah. We better hurry, Dave. The Monty's seen us.
After the engine's taken us through the rapids, we'll have to kill him.
What good'll that do?
It'll cut off pursuit. According to Johnny Elk, only one man can steer a canoe through the white water. When we're through, the Mountie will be on this side of the rapids, and we'll be on the other. He'll lose a lot of time by traveling overland to circle the rapids to come after us.
As the two men approached the village of the cave-dwelling Indians, they could see Wildcat River filling the narrowing canyon ahead. The current seemed to race over the partially submerged rocks at the narrows. In spite of himself, Clay shuddered when he saw the reefs gaping like jagged teeth in the midst of the turbulent and foaming water that flooded the canyon from wall to wall.
Look at that river, Dade.
Yeah, when you see it, you can understand why the Indians call it the White Water.
I'd hate to try steering a canoe through it.
Looks like something's going on in the village. The Indians are mighty busy.
We better call one of them.
Yeah. Hey, you! You understand English?
Be savvy English.
Good. We want to go through the White Water.
No, you not go through White Water.
Why not?
Only one Indian able go through White Water. Him hurt.
Huh? What's wrong with him?
Him come village this morning, wounded arm. Side of head grazed by bullet.
Hey, Dade, that must be the Indian we saw.
Yeah. Is he dead?
Him unconscious, plenty weak. You come back village 4 or 5 weeks. Maybe then him take you through White Water.
No, we can't wait that long.
We want to go through now.
You not go through now.
Somebody has to take us through.
Listen, Indian, we'll pay you. We'll give you gold, lots of it.
That's right. Just find someone to take us through the reefs and over the rapids.
No one but Lonok go through White Water.
Look, Injun. Johnny Elk promised us someone would take us through.
Johnny not know Lonok hurt. Brother Chief gone tell Johnny. Johnny come here. Him tell you, you not get through White Water now.
Dade, we gotta get out of here.
Yeah.
Look, the Mountie's coming on the run, and he has another Injun with him.
That must be the Chief's brother.
Yeah.
We'll have to kill the Mountie to escape jail.
No. The Injuns would mob us. We'd never leave here alive. Leave your gun alone.
You have a better idea?
Yeah. Yeah, we'll try to bluff our way out of this. The Mountie hasn't found Johnny, we'll be all right. The wounded Indian's unconscious. As long as he stays that way, we have nothing to worry about.
Sergeant Preston! A good thing you come here. Lonok shot.
I know, Munalak. I met a week ago, he told me. Has Lonok explained what happened?
No, Chief with Lonok now. Maybe Lonok be conscious soon. Are we go bring Johnny Elk to village?
Johnny Elk is dead, Munalak. I found him in his cabin.
Johnny dead?
Yes. You two are strangers here, aren't you?
Yeah. I'm Clay Banham, and this is my partner, Dave.
We wanted to go through the White Water, but this engine says there's no one to take us.
Changed your plans rather suddenly, didn't you?
Huh?
You were heading for Lime City when I saw you.
Well, I'll
take your guns.
Why? We haven't done anything.
I'll return your weapons as soon as you've been searched.
Searched? Why should we be searched?
Johnny Elk's cabin was ransacked by the thieves who stole his gold. Since you're the only white men in the canyon, I'll have to search you.
Now, hold on.
We have gold, but it's ours.
Munalak, search their packs.
Please search them.
Hey, now, wait a minute. You can't prove that gold isn't ours.
Me make pokes for Johnny from caribou skins. Me mark pokes.
Mark?
That right. Me know Johnny's poke when me see him. Look, Sergeant Preston, your poke.
Is that Johnny's poke?
Your picture of elk me put on skin for Johnny.
That's all the evidence we'll need. You two are under arrest in the name of the Crown.
Dade, you bungling jughead. You told me we could get away with it.
We would have if we'd been able to get through the rapids.
Yeah, it's your fault we didn't. If you hadn't shot that engine outside the cabin last night, he'd be able to handle a canoe.
If I hadn't shot him, he'd have warned Johnny.
You shoot Lonok?
That's right, he shot him.
You weak-kneed squealer! As long as you thought you'd get some gold, you were willing to go along with me. Now you're trying to blame me for everything. You're just as guilty as I am.
You shoot Lonok, me kill you!
Steady, Munalak. These two will be punished for what they've done.
How we know them pay?
Attend their trial in Dawson.
We do that.
I'll put the handcuffs on these two, and then we'll go back to Lime City. From there, we'll go to Dawson.
Indians be plenty sad. Johnny a good friend. Now him dead.
We'll all miss Johnny, Munalak. I came to the canyon to help him make out a will.
Will?
That's right. He wanted to provide for your tribe after his death. When I stopped at his cabin this morning, I found a letter addressed to me saying he wanted to leave his gold in trust for you so that the tribe would always have food, clothing, and shelter. I'll take the letter to Dawson and turn it over to the court. I'm sure Johnny's wishes will be fulfilled if there are no other claimants.
Johnny Elk, good friend. Me go with you now, Sergeant Preston. Maybe me help put killers in jail.
I'll not need any help, Moonalak, but you're welcome to come with us. Before we leave, I'll speak to the chief. He'll be glad to know we've captured the men who wounded Lonak.
Oh, chief come this way now.
Good. We'll be on our way as soon as I've told him that this case is closed.
Sergeant Preston will return in just a moment with a word about our next exciting adventure. Christmas is in the air.
And good food is on the table.
Yes, for a holiday breakfast treat for the whole family these mornings, or any morning, you can't beat delicious, crisp, Quaker-puffed rice or Quaker-puffed wheat topped with milk or cream and fruit.
Everybody goes for the toasty, nut-like flavor of good, natural grain.
It's a sun-ripened, natural flavor that Old Mother Nature put into it.
Quaker puffed wheat and Quaker puffed rice are never coated with factory sweetening.
And you mothers know that some members of your family like their cereal not so sweet,
and others like it very sweet.
Well, here's the beauty of Quaker puffed rice and Quaker puffed wheat.
Your family can sweeten them with sugar just the way they like them.
So you mothers can't miss when you serve the one shot from guns.
Yes, Quaker puffed wheat and rice are exploded up to 8 times normal size to make them extra crisp and tender.
And they give your whole family extra food values of restored natural grain amounts of vitamin B1, niacin, and iron.
So look at your store tomorrow for the big red and blue packages with the sealed inner lining that keeps Quaker puffed wheat and Quaker puffed rice as crisp as can be.
And now, here is Sergeant Preston.
Sergeant Preston reporting for duty, Inspector.
Sergeant, there's a girl on the trail heading north for the mine her father located before he died.
Where's that, Inspector?
I don't know, Sergeant. Neither does she. But I want you to find them both, her and the mine.
Yes, sir.
I want you to find her first, Sergeant, because if you don't, she'll die. She'll never survive the cold and the perils of the trail.
I'll find her, sir.
Come on, King.
A foolhardy girl braves the terrible dangers of the blizzard-swept Yukon Trail, followed by 2 murdering claim jumpers bent on her destruction. Sergeant Preston starts in pursuit of the girl, not knowing that death awaits both of them at the end of the trail. Don't miss this next exciting adventure. These radio dramas, a feature of Sergeant Preston of the Yukon Incorporated, are created by George W. Trendle, produced by Trendle Campbell Enterprises, directed by Fred Flowerday, and supervised by Charles D. Livingston. The part of Sergeant Preston is played by Paul Sutton. Sergeant Preston of the Yukon is brought to you every Tuesday and Thursday at the same time by Quaker Puffed Wheat and Quaker Puffed Rice, the breakfast cereals shot from guns. Only Quaker Pak-O-Ten has all your family's cereal favorites. A regular cereal pantry. That's Quaker Pak-O-Ten. 6 different delicious ready-to-serve cereals. 10 crisp, fresh individual servings. Pak-O-Ten, and only Pak-O-Ten, has wheat and rice shot from guns. And Pak-O-Ten alone has the individual packages with the cellophane windows. There's both an inner and outer cellophane wrap to doubly protect that day it's made Christmas. Pick up a pack of Pak-O-Ten at your grocer's tomorrow. Listen tomorrow at the same time to The Green Hornet, brought to you by the drink that makes you feel fresh again, Delicious Orange Crush. This is J. Michael wishing you goodbye, good luck, and good health from Quaker Puffed Wheat and Quaker Puffed Rice. So long. This is the Mutual Broadcasting System.